Okay, folks, welcome to St. Peter's Barge and to the lunchtime talks, whether you're here in person on the barge or tuning in on Zoom. It is great to have you with us, and a special welcome if you're here for the first time. So today we're doing things slightly differently. So once a month, rather than just our regular lunchtime Bible talk, we have a particular focus on workplace issues, and we call it Faith in the Workplace. And normally it's just a little bit different in terms of format, maybe a little bit more interactive and so on. And our subject for today is redundancy. So inside your service sheet is a little outline of where we're going. And I'm delighted to have Julian here with me, who used to work in the wharf, and he's going to tell us a bit about his story of redundancy. And in fact, the bulk of the session is going to be Julian sharing something of his experience. And the idea is that we want to think about what difference does it make being a Christian. So we're not just talking about redundancy generally, though we will also just look at some of the challenges and so on, the experience of that. But we want to think particularly as well, what's a biblical perspective on this and so on. So just to sort of start us off, in terms of redundancy, what is it? You might be thinking, what is this redundancy word he keeps mentioning? It's basically when your job disappears, isn't it? So it's not the same as being dismissed from your job for other reasons. You know, when you're made redundant, you've done nothing wrong and no one is questioning your ability to do the job. It just happens that, you know, your employer needs to reduce their workforce. So that's what redundancy is, just in case you're wondering what is this R word. And then voluntary redundancy is when you choose to put yourself forward for redundancy. So there we go, definition terms. So what we're going to do, thinking about a biblical perspective, you'll see on the sheets there, we're going to have three sections. So first one is before. So facing the prospect of redundancy, what's that like? What would be a biblical perspective? Secondly, during. So what's it like experiencing it, going through it? And then, Julian is here to help us through think this through. Just tell us before we get into the before, during, after, what were the basic facts of your experience of redundancy? So what kind of happened and how long were you off for?
So I... Okay, excellent. I was a lawyer who'd been at a certain Swiss bank for a number of years. Come August 2022, that Swiss bank was starting to get rather unhealthy. I'd been there running a team of colleagues there for a few years. A voluntary redundancy program kicked off. I looked at my situation, the situation of the bank, and the situation of my team, and I chose to step into that voluntary redundancy process. Yeah. Off the back of that, I left the bank in December, in that December, and I was out seeking work until actually heading back into work again in mid-August the following year. So okay. I was effectively out between jobs for 8 months, basically.
8 months. Okay, great. So let's take our first section. So before, so facing the prospect of redundancy, just help us think through what was your experience of facing the prospect of redundancy? What were some of the challenges of that, and so on? What emotions did it bring up, etc.?
It was, I suppose. When I sort of think of the range of emotions, I sort of think, you know, if I was to think of physical imagery, I think I sort of the words sort of tumultuous or maelstrom spring to mind. It was, you know, one level it was exciting. It was, you know, had an element of the exciting about it, an element of the liberating. It opened up the possibility of a new chapter, but also it was undoubtedly. It was a source of definitely a source of fear as well, a sort of fear and foreboding. I mean, I realised while I was stepping away, I mean, one of the things I concluded was that I was probably at the end of my road at Swiss Bank. Anyway, I was at the end of my road, and if I wasn't going to make that decision, probably somebody else was. That then left me facing the prospect of. You're having to find somewhere else to work. I have four children and a reasonable sized mortgage as well. All these things need to be looked after, and so you know that sort of threw for me through into relief and in fact swept away from me a number of things which at that point I'd been able to take for granted.
Okay. And in terms of biblical resources that helped you as you face the prospect of redundancy, what kind of things were you going to do, biblical truths or passages?
Well, I think one of the things about redundancy is you put, I'd actually say thank you to Marcus for the opportunity to talk about this, because actually it's given me time to marshal my own thoughts on it. So it's almost a perspective of actually, if I'd done this again, what would I have done? It reminds me of a French colleague who once told me many years ago that he told me that if he gave me one piece of advice, it was never to waste a good redundancy. Looking back at this, I think the reality is that biblically and personally, on one level, every person's redundancy, every leaving from a job, every finding a new one, everything they go through in between is personal. It's individual to them. But on the other hand, as a Christian, as you sit and you look at these things, you have some great and universal truths to grasp onto. Among those is the fact that, quite simply, we live under God. Our God is good. Nobody looks after anyone like God looks after his own people. And that is, whatever you're going through, I think is a very helpful truth to hang on to. That said, there is a gap between, we know what we are promised in God and in Jesus Christ, but sometimes the gap that one experiences between what that looks like and the foreboding, the worries, the things we have in front of us can be quite substantial. And so you can look at the story of Job, for example, who was faced with bad things. But redundancy is a bad thing, on a lot of levels, is a bad thing which carries a prospect of worse things with it. Job faced that. He didn't know why he was going through what he was going through. He didn't know how long it was going to go on for either. And he learned some. He kept turning back to God. He made mistakes on the way, but he made some. But he kept turning back, and I think that is the other. So the lesson of that is to keep turning to God. Don't turn from Him. And beyond that, I think you have also the fact that as God's people, we know that God is doing a work in us. We know that whatever's going on in our lives, that all things work together to the good, for those who love God, for those whom He's called according to His purpose. And again, sometimes the reality is that in tough times it can feel quite hard to hold on to that truth, but a truth it is. It is still there. And actually, a part of that is the fact that God is working these things together for us, but equally, these things don't just happen. The good that is talked about in Romans 8 doesn't just happen. It is something which we also have to lean into. Mm. So what is it that we're called to do? Answer, I think, certainly very famously in the Gospels of Matthew and Luke, in times of anxiety, we're pointed to the kingdom. We're called to seek God's care, seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all the other things that we're worrying about will come to us, will be given to us. Again, we don't know how that's going to happen, how it's going to play out, but we have to actively keep seeking. So that we are universally called in that.
Great. So we know God is in control. God is good and loving. He's working out His purposes in this situation. We're to trust Him. We're to seek first the kingdom. So what kind of time length are we talking between when you were told about redundancy and when you actually finished up in the bank?
Mid-August to mid-December. So that's about 4 months, isn't it?
Okay, so that's what we're thinking about in this first section, is this the before you actually get made redundant and you finish work. What, just the kind of things you might be going through during that period and the biblical resources to help you through that. Now, I think we'll We'll open up to questions in a moment, but I think let's do section two before that. So we're going to move on now to during. So what was it like actually living through those 8 months of redundancy? And we'll start off again with, tell us about some of the challenges that you faced, the emotions and so on, and then we'll move on to biblical resources.
Absolutely. So the emotions we've touched on, as you leave work, you find a couple of things. You find there are some things which you have rather more of that you didn't have previously, and some things you have rather less of. In terms of the more, you have a lot more time on your hands. Conversely, in terms of the less, you have a lot less structure, a lot less shape. What you have less of is, above all, certainty. So you have more time, less structure, less certainty. You have a lot of, on one level, you can feel like, in terms of sort of finding out what next is, you can feel like you have a lot of choice, perhaps almost too much choice on some days. On other days, you can feel like there's almost no choice at all when you've flicked through the options in front of you and haven't found too much that day. So I suppose from my experience, it wasn't always easy by any stretch to find out how or where to use that time, to choose to use it rightly. How indeed to make the most of it, where I should be pointing myself, what I should be going for.
Did you set up your own structures then to try and compensate?
To an extent. I mean, one thing I would tell people is, and that's probably one of the other great truths we have and which we need to draw on in these situations, is that in our lives, almost in a sort of secular worldly sense, God has given us a great many blessings, a great many things we can draw on. And it's worth thinking beyond sort of the obvious spiritual blessings like the Bible, like prayer, like your church, like your Christian friends, and looking beyond that, because in this situation, what are the things you've got to draw on? You have your friends, contacts, family, your closest, your wife and your children, your family, friends, your contacts, your experience, your stories. And so the question then becomes almost, I think, viewed from a Christian perspective, is actually how do I use these things well for the things, both the things for my responsibilities, the work I can do, but also the extra time on my hand. Can I use these to do things for my church and my community as a Christian, which I've not been able to do previously? Coming back to your question, Marcus, therefore, one of the things I think people sometimes, they get given, sometimes some people use it, some people don't, is the services of an outplacement agency. Everybody gets that generally. When you're going through a big formal program, you're given the service, the outplacement agency. My advice is to use it, to make the most of it. You don't actually know what you're going to get out of it. You certainly don't know, if you haven't been looking for work for a good decade or something like that, you don't know everything about looking for work. There's a lot of things which have changed in the world in that regard compared to how things were even four or five years ago. But also it's very helpful to get you some structure. I certainly didn't have all the answers, though. My wife was very helpful, for example. She sort of picked up on the fact that there were times when I was needed to get my mind active, have some good time to use a day, and so she helped point me in the direction of doing a mini MBA, which I did over the course of 10 weeks or so, which was hugely helpful both in terms of content, but also just in terms of actually keeping myself moving. I think it's really important to be able to do that.
And in terms of relationship with your family, so with your wife, with your kids, any sort of challenges that it brought up there which maybe you didn't anticipate, in terms of obviously you're suddenly around a lot more at home, which is good, but also perhaps there's challenges with it?
Absolutely. So look, in one regard, if you've been working very hard for a long period, this time is actually time available for rekindling relationships. And that goes right, you know, all the way through home to friendships, friends you haven't been in touch with, contacts you haven't been in touch with long term. But in particular, though, first and foremost, when you're closer to home. For me, absolutely. I was certainly for me, sort of finding my feet, being at home, and actually working out what my role was in the family in that context. Suddenly being around everybody much more. That took me some time. I think in a lot of regards. The family quite enjoyed having me around more, and they were all, they released some degree of sadness at some points to see me go back to work. But certainly it's not all in that regard. No, it's not all plain sailing.
And in terms of sense of identity, people often talk about the danger of your identity is tied to the fact that you're a lawyer or whatever. Did you find that at all? That once you were out of work, did it affect your sense of sort of self-worth at all, or did you have that sort of sorted beforehand?
Yes, I think it. I think the reality is that it did, because I think it's almost a point that one goes from being in work where one is able to point to quite easily the fact that one is valued. You're valued for the work you do. You're valued by the people you work with, and that suddenly is taken away from you. So it's difficult on that level. It becomes more difficult when on those times which tend to happen, I think, as you become older as well, where it becomes harder to find work in the market. In other words, harder to find on that level somebody else to value you, as it were. And I think that actually getting to grips with that, not only on a personal level but on a spiritual level, is quite an important part of actually going through a period without work as a Christian.
And did you go through any times during your 8 months where you got really low emotionally, even depressed, just because you were maybe looking for work and you couldn't find any good options and the months were ticking by, or were you fairly steady through it?
One of the things you learn is, I think, for a lot of people, is it is sort of almost like a period of it's likened to a period of mourning. In that regard, it can be very, it can be on that level, there can be sort of, quite difficult feelings to get to grips with, basically. Feeling is lost in that regard. I mean, it goes further beyond mourning. Say you have this sort of the excitement about the future, but equally then the sense of loss, and yes, absolutely, it can be. If things aren't going well, then I suppose your fears do start staring you clear in the face. I have to admit, I think one of the things which came to me when this, at a particularly stark moment when this happened, was the realization that actually everything again that I was being put through was being put through. I was happening as by God's will. So when I actually realized at one point that actually it was probably God's choice that I was being asked to stare a particular fear, a particular prospect, square in the face. I mean, it was almost realized God was there saying, "Go on, what are you going to do about this then? Who are you going to turn to?"
And just moving on then to sort of biblical resources and things for that during period, you've shared really helpfully about some of the challenges. So where did you go, or maybe where would you recommend people go during that kind of time in terms of biblical truths to sustain you?
I think part of what I've come to realize is that part of actually leaving my work partly through choice but partly not through choice, was actually one can become very comfortable in one's work. You can become very comfortable. The extent really you don't want to look elsewhere. It gives you a sense of security, a sense of place. It allows you to deal with to deal pretty easily with the things which otherwise would worry you quite substantially. And that is actually not necessarily a good thing, I think, spiritually, because I think what is actually happening there is there are these comforts, this sort of sense of security, the need that becomes a need for comfort, a need for security, which takes root. And that sense of I think I was finding peace in the wrong place. We have a Savior who said that he had nowhere to lay his head. In my job, I think I had laid back my head, I had pulled up the duvet, and I had no desire to move out of bed at all, deep down. And I think that it was actually quite helpful to realize that actually losing that security, losing that comfort, was exactly what was supposed to happen. I think the comfort, the security, and all those things have become an idol to me. And you cannot seek the kingdom, you cannot enter the kingdom with one hand on those things, grasping them and pulling them with you. So I think where that left me is to look to, for example, the people of Israel as they left Egypt and as they headed across the wilderness. When they left Egypt, they were not allowed to take anything with them. They couldn't even take anything. They weren't even allowed to take anything with them to make bread properly. So they left, effectively traveling. They traveled light. They had to travel light. They were given no choice. They often didn't enjoy it. They often looked back and said, why can't I, you know, can't we just go back to Egypt? And I certainly remember myself looking back like that sometimes, saying, look, can I not sort of just go back and perhaps maybe they'll have me back? But I realized that I felt that was wrong. That wasn't the right thing to do. And I think the thing was also is when the Israelites then wandered in the wilderness, they did so for their 40 years. At the time, they didn't know where they were going or how long it was going on for. Or why it was going on that long. They did know where they were headed in the end. They didn't know how they were going to get there. They didn't know what was going to be happening to them in the interim. And I think that's the same for us in courses of life like this. These things can go on, and you don't know. A big, big problem with the period in between is the uncertainty, above all. You don't know how long it's going to go for. You don't know where it's going to lead you to. You know it is happening. And so I think a big part of it is to live that time as the people of Israel were called to live their time in the wilderness. Live it under God. You keep moving, you keep walking, you keep living your life under God as best you can, however hard that might be. And every little step you take on that journey is a step in the right direction. Hard though it may seem, insignificant though it may seem at the time, even though you don't know actually where it's taking you at the time, it's still a step in the right direction.
Thank you so much. Let's just press pause for a moment and throw it open to the floor. So anything people want to pick up so far about the before and the during phases, we'll get to the after in just a moment. Jing.
So the question was, did I have any gardening leave, and how did I deal with it as a Christian? So I did actually have a relatively, slightly unusually, a relatively long period of notice where I was actively working at the firm. So I wasn't actually out from the firm. I was increasingly out, but I had agreed with my bosses at the firm that I was going to take some time to effectively do a proper handover to make sure that whoever was taking over from me was getting things in an orderly fashion. I think in that regard I ended okay. The reality is, when you're working in that situation, it can be very difficult to stay motivated. That's just a human reality. But I got there. I also gave me the chance to work further and do some things with the Christian group work as well before I left, which was important to me, because I wanted to do some things again to make sure that was it is in very good hands. But I wanted to do things to help sort of hand things on there as well. So yeah.
So finishing well, yeah.
Do you have an accountable partner at
That's a really good point. Yeah, it's a, yeah, it's a really good point. So actually, a big part of it also a big a big sort of spiritual support. Well, there's a group of us who meet with Marcus on a Friday morning, which is, that was, you know, their support, their prayer, and the conversations with them over the period were really helpful. Likewise, being in a growth group in my home church, and it so happened that the lead pastor of my church as well offered to sit and read the Bible with me every couple of weeks as well, and that was a really good opportunity to talk things through. So yes, absolutely, it's really helpful to have people you can pray with, and actually even beyond that, then having just some friends at church who were able to sometimes have some very honest conversations with me about what was in front of me. Because sometimes it takes, you know, it can take others as well to help you face the truth and the reality of what you face.
Yeah. So Christian business network can also help.
Yes. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So do very very much so. So do definitely lean in on your Christian friends, in your groups of church. Yeah.
Great. Let's move on to section three. So we've done before, during, now the after. So when redundancy finished and you started your new work, what sort of perspective did you have looking back? Any lessons learned?
Yeah, absolutely. So look, I think there's sort of two or three things basically. I've landed okay. I'm at a good bank as a contractor. In a good role, working with good people. I'm thankful for that. First thing. The second thing is how I got there and how that happened, how that opportunity arose, and how we got through actually those 8 months. Looking back, if I would have said, you know, if somebody had told me this is the way things are going to pan out, I would have said you must be joking. There were things which came together which I just would not have expected to come together in the way they did. I was out of work for effectively 3 months longer than the payment cushion I had from the firm on the way out. It so happened that my wife, in the sort of part-time quiet working role which she had sort of ticking over for a year or two before that, her work went pretty ballistic over that 3 month period. So effectively she suddenly found herself with a load of out of the blue, a load of full-time work which she'd not had previously. So effectively for those 3 months we almost, as it were, reversed roles, where she was doing the hard office work and earning the money, and I was stumbling along trying to look after things at home basically with our four children. So by the time we got to the end of this, I got on the payroll at my new employer, my first paycheck came in. We had a grand total in our overall funds before we would have had to have cut into savings of £100. We were down to our last £100 basically. And so, again, it doesn't turn out the same way for everybody, but I feel God was kind. I was looked after was the first thing. The second thing, again, is, as I say, every redundancy in one level is special, it is different, but on the other level we have truths we can all grasp and hold on to. But I think as I found, sort of looking back on my redundancy, is I could see there were certain things in terms of how I had been working, and just my attitude to work, what I felt about my work, and in what was a very difficult working environment for a couple of years before I left, where I wasn't happy with how well I was working. I don't think I was working as well as I could by quite a stretch. I think I was quite fearful. I had become often in a difficult environment. It is often easier to worry about whose toes you're treading on than actually getting the work done. And I found myself by the time I left doing that far too often. And I think that, again, I was meant to realise that this was not right, And I think consequently, you know, I've realized looking at the, you know, as you look at the Bible, it's possible to seek the kingdom the wrong way. And I think that was what was happening with me. And I think God, by his grace, has taken me out of that situation. I mean, there's a great story in 1 Chronicles of how David sought to take the ark back to Jerusalem from the house of a man called Uzzah, where he'd been sitting for a number of years. With great enthusiasm, he and all sorts from Israel turned up and somehow managed to get the ark onto a cart, might have been there already, and then started wheeling it back, dancing in front of the cart. And Uzzah stumbled, and he touched the ark. The ark was holy, it was God. God was angry, and he struck Uzzah down. David was obviously, it seems, angered at this. He was quite thrown by it. He didn't know what to make of it, I think. In the meantime, the ark was parked in the house of a man called Obed-Edom for a few months, and apparently Obed-Edom and his household knew every blessing from God as a result. And in the meantime, David came, it seems, to a realization. And his realization was that, as he put it, when he spoke to the Levites, he said, because you didn't carry the ark the first time, the Levites were the ones who were supposed to carry the ark, the Lord our God broke out against us because we did not seek him according to the rule. And so I think it is for us to do as David did when we realize, sometimes a light gets cast in our lives, where we realize we're not seeking God according to the rule. You realize it, you own it, you deal with it, you repent, and you try to sort it out as best you can. So David marshaled all the Levites, and he got everybody organized as he should, and perfectly organized. And there was a great, great singing and sacrificing on the way back to Jerusalem when they brought the ark back. But it is for us to seek God the right way. I think one other thing also is when these things come, for me, things came together. I'm hugely grateful for it. I learned to trust. It made, again, there was another quote in another great line in Chronicles where Joab and Abishai at one point found themselves in a seemingly hopeless situation with Israel's strongest men, but we're surrounded with the Syrians attacking on one side, the Ammonites attacking on the other side. They were surrounded, being attacked by two armies. And Joab turned to Abishai and he just said the words, "Be strong and let us use our strength for our people and the cities of God, and may the Lord do what seems good to him." And I think, again, that speaks very much to our walk in any time of difficulty, in any time where you're not sure where you're headed, how to get ahead, how it's going to end. On one hand, we're called to be strong and let us use our strengths for our people and for the cities of God, use it for God. But on the other hand, the Lord will do what seems good to him. We will do what we know we have to do. And God will do whatever he was going to do, but which we can trust was right. I think, and I'm going to just pick off one further thing, and perhaps finish with one piece of scripture to close this out. When you seek work, there can be all sorts of other things you're seeking at the same time. You can be seeking prestige, seeking to prove yourself, seeking to show other people, look how I've come through this now. The question is, who are you seeking to oppress? What are you actually seeking in that work? Are you seeking work healthily? Now, in my case, I had about two or three near misses on the way to coming to my current employer, and I think those near misses were meant to happen because I was seeking things or risk of actually going in possibly unsatisfied into the role I might have been going into. By the time I did land a role, again, which came to me pretty unexpectedly, I was at a point where I was just, frankly, grateful to have the work and grateful to be able to go and serve others at work. No strings attached. I was going in feeling very cleanly thankful and happy to be working. And I think that was a real gift from God. I think he's, and also, I'm working as a contractor, and apart from anything else that goes, you become rather less worried about things which might otherwise hang over you, like career aspiration, getting drawn into this, that, or the other, politics, etc., etc. It's given me the opportunity to go in where I've ended up and just do the best I can for the people I'm working for, and that's very healthy, a far cry from where I was before.
Thank you so much, Julian. Unfortunately, our time has gone. We could spend all afternoon. But thank you so much for everything you shared.
Thank you.
Let me pray for us as we close. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of work. Thank you for the way you've watched over Julian and his family over this period of redundancy. Thank you for all the lessons you've taught him. And we pray for all of us, Lord, that we can take these lessons on board ourselves and seek first your kingdom always and keep trusting that you are good and you're in control in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
If you've got questions to Julian, do buttonhole him afterwards. He can stay for a few minutes before he heads back. But thank you very much for coming, and see you next week.
I would suggest, Marcus, I can just read, a word from Scripture. It's very, very quick. Everyone, then, who hears these words of mine, of Jesus' that is, and does them, will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. Just every little step is building that house a little bit more on the rock.
Thank you so much. Thank you, folks. Yeah.